أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا سبحانه بل له ما في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون بديع السماوات والأرض وإذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد. Another switch in subject, you notice that, you know, in passing, Mushrikun were mentioned, and then the Qibla hijacking was mentioned, and then now in passing, the Christians were also mentioned, and now Allah will focus on the Christians. And inshallah, when I talk about how all of these ayat tie together, I'll explain this in some more detail. But now Allah will turn to yet another kind of shirk, and that is committed by the Christians and some elements of the Jews. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. They said Allah has taken a son. Taking a son is different from having a son. And I brought this up when we first mentioned their beliefs, but I'll review some of this briefly with you. When there are certain factions of Christianity that believe God literally had a son, they call him the begotten son, right? That's very literal, graphic language. And that's the kind of blasphemy that's on the one end. Then there are some more subtle forms of Christianity who don't say that God had a son and became the father, but it's closer to what the Romans used to do. The Romans, interestingly enough, the Roman emperors, they didn't always choose their son to be the next emperor. So what they used to do was they used to find, because their son may be too short or not good looking or not a good warrior or not, like, you don't choose the genetics of your son. Your son may or may not be a great leader, may or may not be the qualities you wanted in a son. But in their army, they would find somebody who's, you know, charismatic, handsome, tall, you know, intelligent, and has all the qualities that they would have wanted in a son. And what the Romans used to do is they would say, from this day forth, you are my, I have taken you as a son, and pass kingdom on to them. So the idea was, God chooses, or rather the king chooses, you know, of all the things that he's, all the subjects that he has, someone that's good enough to be considered his son, and makes them his son, and then passes the kingdom on to them too. This was actually a Roman kind of thing found among the Caesars also. So along those lines, somebody said, well, this may be a much better way to explain, you know, God's relationship with Jesus, because the whole begotten thing gets too graphic and blasphemous, so maybe just God chose him because he's so awesome, and said, well, I've taken him up as my son. The Quran says even that's blasphemy. Because even that suggests that you didn't have control over, you know, so much of what you could create or what could have come from you, and so you had to go outside and pick something that was good enough, kind of thing. That was the rationale that the Romans used to use. So Allah says, Subhanahu, he's too far above that. He's too perfect to be given that kind of a label. Subhanahu or Subhanallah in the Quran is an expression that is your reaction to blasphemy. When somebody's blasphemous, they say something inappropriate about Allah, the reaction is Subhanallah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when shirk is mentioned, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. You know? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yaquluna uluwan kabira. When they say blasphemous things, you say Subhanallah. This is important to note because, you know, Alhamdulillah is a thing you say under virtually any situation. But Subhanallah more often is said in horrible situations, blasphemous situations, terrible situations. That's when Subhanallah is uttered, okay? There are other places to utter Subhanallah also, to express one's humility before Allah. That's also done. But actually, just the declaration of Subhanallah itself, you'll find in Hadith literature and in Quran literature, it's done more and more in shocking situations or terrible situations. So here, a horrible thing has been said, and Subhanahu. Now to remind you of the meanings of Subhan, from Sabaha, which means to swim, or to float. The idea is that we believe certain things about Allah, and we keep His grandeur, His wisdom, His knowledge, His uniqueness afloat. We say things about Him that keep Him at a certain level. And we don't say things about Him that bring Him below that level. We don't let it sink at all. You see? So that's the idea of Subhanahu. And by the way Allah's name and His attributes and His perfection floats, nothing else can float to that level. So there's two things in Tasbih. In Tasbih, you don't say anything about Allah that brings Him down to the level of creation. And also, you don't take anything about creation, you say things about them that make them sound like Allah. So one crime is to reduce God, and the other is to elevate creation. And we prevent both of them when we say Subhanallah. So Subhanahu ballahu ma fis samawati wal ard. Instead, He alone owns whatever is in the skies and the earth. He doesn't have to pick and choose and then take a son when He owns all of it anyway. All of what there is, living or non. Lahu ma fis samawati wal ard, kullun lahu qanitun. Everything, all creation is submissive to Him. Qanit is a heavy word. Al-imsaku anil kalam. Qanit, actually, one of its meanings is when someone stops talking out of humility. That's qanit. Al-du'a'u fi salah. Qanit is also when someone is pleading to Allah in the middle of their prayers. Al-qunutu wal-khushu'u wal-iqraru bil-ubudiyya. Qunut is humility. It's being in awe. And it also means someone who has now is willing to just fall into subservitude. Al-qiyamu bil-ta'a. التي ليس معها معصية. When you stand and obey willingly, and there's not an ounce of eagerness to disobey left in you. Like willing and eager, that's actually قنوت. وقيل القيام وزعم ثعلب أنه زعم ثعلب أنه الأصل. وقيل إطالة القيام. قنوت also means standing for a long time, like a servant or a guard standing in front of their king like this for a long time. They're in قنوت, actually. They're قانت. Allah says every one of them is qanit before Him. Kullun lahu qanitun. What is that a reference to? It's a reference to what you think that Allah has taken a son, meaning He took a prophet as a son, or He took angels as daughters, or whatever. All of these that you mention are people that are actually subservient to Allah already. Allah didn't have to bring them close to Him by declaring them His son. They're already in the ultimate subservience to Allah. Kullun lahu qanitun. So, for what it seems to be is that Allah is not making reference here to all of creation has qunut to Allah. But those that you make shirk with, those that you associate Him with, are actually humble to Allah themselves. In other words, they shouldn't become the objects of your worship because they themselves are in worship to Allah. Kullun lahu qanitun. So now, and then He makes the argument about Himself, and that is, He doesn't need to, you know, find those creative qualities in somebody so that they can match, and then finally He can pass off His kingdom or take a son. Badi'u samawati wal ard, the creative initiator of the skies and the earth. By the way, what I failed to mention, there's a hadith narrated by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ayyus salati afdal. He asks, so إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet was asked, which prayer is the best? Or which prayer is better? He says, طول القنوت. The one that has the longest قنوت. And it says, يراد به طول القيامة. Or قيام rather. What he means by قنوت is standing humbly. Meaning when you stand and recite Quran, the longer you can do that, that's the best kind of salah. Instead of saying standing, he used the word قنوت. Which is an indication of what the spirit of standing in salah is. You're supposed to stand with humility before Allah. So that's kullun lahu qanitun. Badi'u samawati wal ard ay mubdi'uhuma fahuwa fa'ilun min af'al wal ibda' ikhtira'u shay' la an madda. Actually means badi'u samawat, the one who creates without any ingredients. He creates out of nothing all the time. What could be more creative than creating out of nothing? Understand the human concept of creativity. When I create an architect designs a new building, or an artist makes a new painting, or you know, a chef makes a new dish, a new recipe, invents a new recipe or something, or an author writes a new novel, there was always something before it that was used as a basis to build off of. It's basically the same ingredients, it's a different mix of the same ingredients that we call creativity. Right? There's a little less sugar in this one, and a little more salt in that one, and there's a little extra this, and a little, and it's a new thing. But it's actually the same stuff. It's still, a building is still bricks. It's still glass. It's still steel. It's still a building. It's just the way that it's organized now, those existing components, the way that they've been manipulated is different. A novel at the end of the day, it's an amazing novel. Nothing like this has ever been written. Well, parts of this are similar to some other story. Another part is similar to another story. Another part to another story. It's actually pieces of things that are found all over, or from the author's personal experience, which is also a pre-existing condition. I call it a condition with authors. You know? Creativity is actually a combination of fragments of things you've experienced. You know? And then you put them together in a way that's entirely new. That's what creativity is. When Allah calls himself Badi'a, the initiate, the one who's creative in a way without any previous ingredients. Like, to give you an example, like, I was really into, when I was younger, I was really into, like, alien movies. And they make all kinds of funny aliens, right? Tentacles and, like, eight arms or, you know, all kinds of stuff. But they still, in one way or the other, have eyes and a mouth. And, okay, they have eight arms, but they're still arms. It's still some component of what you've seen and experienced, twisted and turned into some other way, and now that's an alien thing, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't have any former blueprint when He created you and me, or like mountains, or oceans, or fish, or, you know, the scales on a snake, or like, there's no pre-existing, inspired by this, I made this, you know? Like, my kids and I watch cooking shows a lot. What made you make this? Well, my grandmother, she used to make these cakes, and I used to, you know, like, okay, super creative. It's from this memory that it's inspired by that, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that He doesn't need anything before to create. He creates entirely new. Badi'u samawati wal ard, the creative initiator of the skies and the earth. إِذَا قَضَى وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا, and whenever He makes a decision, whenever He's decreed a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ, then all He says to it is be, and it comes into existence. فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. Why would He need to have a son? Or taking a son, waiting for somebody to be groomed and they're ready. He can make whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. Why would you attribute such weakness to Him? You know? فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. You know, this ayah, notice what's happened in these two ayat, or two sets of ayat. First, you had people that are stopping others from the house of Allah. Allah is not being mentioned. When Allah stops being mentioned, confusion spreads. When confusion and ignorance spread, people can come out with claims like, even Allah has taken what? Asan, and people will actually follow it, because the masajid are no longer playing their role. If the masajid were playing their role, ignorance wouldn't spread. It couldn't spread. And so you have to remind people of who Allah is again. بَدِيعُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. It's not an accidental sequence, you see. Allah is mentioning one of the worst forms of ignorance about Allah after mentioning that there were institutions that prevented Allah from being mentioned. There's a very direct logical connection here. What will happen in a... Now let's go back to Muslims. Every time I try to go back to Muslims, right? What will happen in a Muslim society when the masjids no longer play their role? Will there be shirk and blasphemous stuff being said about Allah, crazy beliefs that are almost Christian, widespread in the Muslim community? Is that possible? Now you know why. It's all there. Like, Allah already said, this is what's going to happen when you do this. This is what happens. This is not some surprising turn of events. The blueprint's already laid out entirely. Sunnat Allah, وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. Allah created humanity a certain way. Allah created His laws a certain way. When you mess with His laws, corruption happens, and the corruption happens a certain way. You know? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And what's the solution to all of this? How do we fix this problem? How do we take people out of that depth of misguidance? We have no doubt sent you with truth. And haqq means purpose, it means truth. Others said, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْحَقِّ الْقُرْآنِ. We've sent you with the Qur'an, which is all the same. Qur'an is the purpose. Qur'an is the truth. Qur'an is the mission. And Qur'an, you know, الحق, the idea of purpose means there's no deen, there's no worldview that will give you purpose like this book. And now that I've given you that book, this hal, bashiran wa nadiran, could be a hal of haq, it could be a hal of ka. Which means, you have been sent as a giver of good news and a giver of warnings. And the truth that you've been given is also a truth that gives good news and gives warnings. So the bashiran wa nadiran could be about the haq, and the bashiran wa nadiran could also be about ka, is inna arsalna ka. You know, so now, وَلَا تُسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. And you do your job. You just spread revelation. No matter how bad, you know, and how corrupt, you know, things get, you just continue to spread Allah's word. You won't be asked about the people of the flame. وَلَا تُسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. You just do your work. Now, here what I would like to share with you is how this, we're near the conclusion now, but how things have progressed. I told you there's a logical connection between the people who prevent from the houses of Allah and then ignorance, like the son of Allah kind of thing spreading. There's another thing here. There's corruption and there's ignorance. Two great destroyers of faith. Corruption and what? Ignorance. Where does the problem begin? Corruption. Because when corruption rises, then the doors to correct knowledge become closed, so that access is no longer there, and then what spreads? Ignorance. We today, when we say we gotta fix the problem of the ummah, we say the real problem is ignorance. Right? The Quran seems to be making a case that the fundamental problem is what? Corruption. And corruption leads to ignorance. The byproduct of corruption is ignorance. Okay? That's what we have to challenge first. And in the Quran, in this discourse in particular, this is a discourse about a nation that believed, that had a book, and they messed up. And they messed up because of their corruption, and despite their book being in their presence, they were still became a people of ignorance. The religious leadership was corrupt, the vast majority was ignorant. That's what happened. That's what happened with the Israelites. That exact problem will repeat itself. If the enough religious leadership becomes corrupt, then the vast majority will become what? Ignorant. And so you have to fix both of these and tackle both of these problems and take them head on. And if you and the only way, and how do you take them head on? What do you do? That's ayah number 119. That's what this ayah is. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhiran. Don't be intimidated. I know this problem seems much bigger than you can solve. We've sent you with the ultimate truth. Just keep giving good news and keep giving warnings. Give the masses hope and give the criminals warnings. People that have fallen into sin, have fallen into ignorance, lost their way, give them hope. Give them good news. And people that are the sources of corruption and think they're getting away with it, give them warnings. And if they don't change their ways, don't worry about it. You're not going to be asked about the people of Jahim. لا تسألوا عن أصحاب الجحيم. Don't worry about that. You just do your part. You don't worry about it. Hey, they're not listening. They're not changing. Things are getting worse. That's not your problem. You just do what you got to do. Now the conversation comes full circle. Where this entire passage began is where it ends. It comes back to the Jews and Christians. Remember we started with the Jews and Christians? قَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. It comes to the conclusion the same way. لَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى Did I? Oh, did I? Okay, I skipped one. Sorry. Oh my God, big ayah I skipped. My fault. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ 118 I skipped, you're right. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ لَوْلَا يُكَلِّمُنَ اللَّهُ أَوْ تَأْتِينَ آيَةً كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ قَدْ بَيَّنَ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ Those who have no knowledge. Who are the people who have no knowledge in this passage? There were Jews and Christians, and then there was the people who have no knowledge. Who are they? Mushrikun of Makkah. Those people who have no knowledge, they say, لَوْلَا يُكَلِّمُنَ اللَّهُ How come Allah doesn't talk to us? Why do we have to listen to you? God is all-powerful, He can talk to me directly. أَوْ تَأْتِينَ آيَةً Or how come no miracle comes to us? كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ There are people that came much before them that said exactly the same thing. Exactly, and I'll highlight the word exactly because the word كَذَلِكَ and then مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ is hammering it twice in. It is just like this, that those who came much before them said exactly the kinds of words they're saying. مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ How close their hearts are. They're so the same as the ancient peoples that came. They're saying the same thing that Fir'aun said in the nation of Hud, in the nation of Salih, in the nation of Shu'aib, came thousands of years ago, centuries ago in some cases, and yet their hearts are all connected because they say exactly the same thing. قَدْ بَيَّنَّ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ By the way, notice, Allah didn't just say their words are the same. He said their what? Hearts are the same. Before, He mentioned, your real problem is arrogance, which was in the hearts. Now He diagnoses the hearts again. Because He can. Their hearts are the same. قَدْ بَيَّنَ الْآيَاتِ And by the way, don't you ever think that the Prophet's not done enough to convince them of Islam, or the Qur'an is inadequate in its proofs and things like that. We've already clarified the ayat. We've already clarified the miracles and made them abundantly clear. For who? لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ For a nation that's actually looking to be convinced. Arabic students take note, قَوْمٍ is nakira, and يُوقِنُونَ is a fi'il mudari, which means it's a sifa. And when a fi'l comes as a sifa, then it actually is naqis. In other words, naqis in meaning, in other words, not a nation that is convinced, a nation that is seeking to be convinced, that is trying to be convinced. It's something missing in the verb. لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ قَوْمٌ يَعْلَمُونَ is going to mean a people that want to know, or trying to know. قَوْمٌ عَالِمُونَ is something else. A people who know. A knowing people. So لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ, Allah is making a comment. You think the Quran or the Prophet hasn't been given miracles? The Prophet has been given miracles, but these miracles are only going to be obvious to those who are looking to be convinced. People that are looking to criticize, who have a problem in their hearts, تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts are similar, they're just making claims like this because they don't want to accept it in their hearts. They have no appreciation for revelation. They just want to, you know, make fun of it. Those kinds of people, this book has nothing to offer them. But people that are looking to be convinced, their hearts will just, they'll just crumble before this book. They will humble themselves before this book. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ جَعَلَتِ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى مُمَاثِلِينَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ This ayah compares them, the Jews and the Christians, and puts them in the same place as the mushrikeen, because previously they were the ones criticizing the Prophet ﷺ. Now the mushrikeen, like you're not doing much different. لِأَنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَعْرَقُوا فِيهَا إِذْ هُمْ أَشْرَكُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَهُ فَلَيْسَ إِدْدِعَاؤُهُمْ وَلَدًا لِلَّهِ بِأَكْثَرْ مِنْ إِدْدِعَاهِمْ شِرْكَةَ الْأَصْنَامِ مَعَ اللَّهِ فِي الْإِلَهِيَّةِ فَكَانَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى مُلْحِقِينَ بِهِمْ So yeah, mushrikeen, how are they that different? You guys say Allah has taken a son. They have idols that worship Allah, you know, that they worship besides Allah. You're in the same category when it comes to doing shirk. So that's why they're put next to one another. But the thing that I wanted to highlight here is, you know, in the beginning, the criticism was, nobody's going to heaven except Jew and Christian. And we said, bring your evidences. Now they're turning the table, the ignorant are turning the table and saying, if you gave us evidence, we would accept. How come Allah doesn't talk to me directly? That would be pretty clear evidence. How come you don't show me a miracle? That would be pretty clear evidence. But the Quran says we already did. I already showed you proof. I don't have to show you anymore. What proof did Allah already give them? That Allah says I already showed it to you, I don't have to show you anymore. It's actually the fact that both the message and the miracle has been received in the form of the Quran. Look at what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَا نَبِي إِلَّا أُوْتِيَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ مَا مِثْلُهُ آمَنَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرِ There was never a prophet that Allah, except that Allah gave them some miracles, the likes of which had never been seen, and the people as a result believed in that prophet. وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُ وَحْيًا أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ And the thing that I have been given is the revelation that Allah revealed to me. فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And I'm hoping that I will be the one with the most followers. Of all the prophets that were given miracles, I will be one of the most followers on the day of resurrection. Why? Because the revelation he's been given, the miracle that he's been given, lives on. It doesn't die with Musa alayhi salam. It doesn't die with Isa alayhi salam or leave this world with Isa alayhi salam. His lives on. فَالْمَعْنَى قَدْ بَيَّنَ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ مِنْ شَأْنِهِمْ أَنْ يُوقِنُوا وَلَا يُشَكِّكُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ Allah is saying, we've already clarified these miracles. The overpowering nature of the Quran has already become clear to them. You know, I interject so much explanation as I'm talking to you about these ayat. These guys were getting hit with the ayat directly. One after the other, after the other, after the other. And these are people that appreciate powerful speech. That's all they have. The way they got hit with it, you would just have to just sit there and go, that's not human. That's just not human. Like, you realize the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke to them for 40 years. You know, he communicates with them all the time. Then Quran comes down and he starts speaking Quran to them. Can they tell this is not how he speaks? Like if I memorized something and said it to you, wouldn't you be able to tell that's not my speech? Immediately? And usually when you're saying something else, you can come up with memorize some quote somewhere and say it once, twice. Eventually people will catch on, where'd you get it from? The Quran keeps coming, and keeps coming, and keeps coming, and keeps coming. And where does he get this from? Who's around here that's giving him this stuff? Like, they're baffled. There's no escape, but this is revelation. Because anybody else, yes, you can speak not like yourself, but you'll sound crazy. You'll just sound insane. This is the height of wisdom, insight, history, law, theology. It's like it's everything that every bit of human inquiry in the phrasing, and then every phrase so rich with wisdom and beauty, and then on top of that it rhymes, and it's got its music on its own, its own divine music. Like Allah says, I've already clarified to you. For people that are willing to be convinced, they could just sit there and listen, and that'll be enough for them. That'll be enough for them. Jinn, for God's sake, jinn would hear the Quran and say, "No, sami'na Quranan ajaba." We heard a unique Quran. What have we just heard? And jinn are pretty international. I would argue intergalactic. Right, they hear lots of stuff. And they heard Quran and they were just like, what is this? We haven't heard anything like this since Unzila min ba'di Musa. We haven't heard a book like this since Musa time. That's what the jinn said. Isn't that something? It's so epic. That they were just baffled by what they heard in the Quran. I don't get me started about the jinn, because what you learn about the jinn in the Quran and their relationship with the Quran is so powerful. I'll just say one thing on tangent mode. Tell you one thing. You know, when the Quran came, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he had a following. Okay? So, muta'in, thamma amin. He has a following. So it's like this document. Quran is coming. So it's coming with legions of angels behind Jibreel. Like the security detail. It's the most classified document in the universe is coming from the seventh heaven to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when important documents travel, there's lots of security. Jibreel don't need no security, alayhi salam. But even then Allah sent like legions of angels. And then how many skies are there? Seven skies. What Allah did is He locked down six of them. He locked down six of them. And the jinn who used to be able to go were shut down. They couldn't even go into the first sky. Actually the seventh sky was locked down too. So jinn used to have some spots in the skies and, you know, out in space where they hang out. And they're trying to go there and they're getting shot at with meteors. Like we can't go to our usual spot between Pluto and whatever. Like they can't go to their normal hangout spots. So like, what is happening? Why can't we go up into the sky? And all the jinn are stuck on the what? On the earth. Because they can't go into the sky. This is their story in Surah Al-Jinn, by the way. They're like, we don't know what's going on. And since the entire skies have been locked up and the only thing open to access is what? This world. Either this world is about to end, or something amazing something's happening. We don't know what it is. أَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ رِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know what's... Is there some great catastrophe about to hit the earth, or some good is coming? You know when they said that? They heard the Qur'an, the Prophet in Taif, they heard the Qur'an being recited. And they said, oh, this is why it's shut down. This is why... Oh, I get it now. Oh, we get it. Okay. Now it makes sense. That's what was coming. Quran was coming. So when they heard it, they were just in awe of, you know, then they understood why the entire skies were on lockdown. Can you imagine, like, that same Quran, and these jinn are hearing this for the first time, and they're like, they couldn't move. Allah says, فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْسِتُوا. So amazing. They were passing by, what is it? It's صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. We made a group of jinn pass by you. And they started listening to the Qur'an. Like a group of guys passing by, they kind of overhear something. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ when they found themselves in its presence. Look at the language. When they found themselves in its presence, قَالُوا أَنْسِتُوا. They said to each other, yo, shut up, I want to listen. فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ. And when it was all done, وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. They rushed back to their nation, became warners of the deen, became preachers of the deen. So amazing. So, so amazing. That was the effect of Qur'an on jinn, man. And this was in the language of the Arabs. They heard this stuff and they knew. So when they have the audacity to say, how come you don't give us a miracle? How come nothing impressive has come down yet? Allah says, I already have. I don't need to explain myself to you. قَدْ بَيَّنَا الْآيَاتِ For anybody who wants to be convinced though. لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ You never think that you have anything missing. We've sent you with al-haq. There's nothing short of al-haq in what you've been given. You just continue, بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَا تُسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ You keep giving good news and give warnings, and the people that are stubborn, that don't want to listen, you're not going to be asked about them. وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ Arabic students here will tell me, لَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ How many people is ka? One person. The Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with you. How many yous are here? One person. It's talking to the Prophet. When you apply this ayah and say, oh, this means us. Brother, the Quran says the Jews and Christians will not be happy with you. It's first and foremost talking to who? Our messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. By extension, it's talking to us, but that's a huge extension. Let's understand that. Why won't they be happy with you? حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ Until you will follow their religion. Milla is one of the Arabic words for religion. It's actually, malla comes from mala also, which means to be inclined towards something, to have a soft corner towards something, to have a place in your heart towards something. Of course, our religion is also called deen, right? But deen refers to dealings in the religion. Right and wrong, principles, ethics, that's deen. But milla is actually the emotional part of our religion. What we have affinity to. That's why our attachment to Ibrahim alayhi salam is not deen abikum Ibrahim, it's milla abikum Ibrahim. You're the milla of your father Ibrahim, meaning you have an emotional attachment to your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. They say they will not be happy with you until you follow their milla. But how many millas are they? Jews and Christians. How many milla is that? Two. I was expecting Allah to say, حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَيْهِمْ They're both their religions. Jewish and Judaism and Christianity. He says مِلَّتَهُمْ like it's one religion or one affiliation. He started by uniting them in the beginning. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى He ends by uniting them. مِلَّتَهُمْ He puts them together again. The Prophet ﷺ will tell us, الْكُفْرُ مِلَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ Denial of the truth is one religion. It's all one religion. It looks different, but it's all one thing. It's all shades, it's sides of the same coin. That's all this is. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper and understand that the Jews and the Christians are actually different, and the Quran makes them different here. لَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَا النَّصَارَى There's لَنْ and لَا. There's neither nor. So Allah did separate them. Then He combined them. So let's separate them first. Do the Jews want you to convert to Judaism? No. So what does it mean that they want you to follow their religion? They want you to follow your religion the way they follow their religion. Keep it to yourself. Make whatever changes you want. Doesn't matter what, you know, so long as it's not, you know, coming after us, we're fine. That's their religion. That's their religion. There is no stable morality or principles because anybody can come along and make a change. I mean, I've had conversations with Orthodox rabbis about this stuff. Yeah, God gave us an intellect, and that means that we can make a decision about what is right and wrong for our times. Yes, some things may not be kosher last year, but they can be this year. It's fine. And that actually becomes the Word of God. It's the same as the Word of God. Wow. That's like so shirky. Your Word is the same as the Word of God? Really? But yeah, because, you know, He authorized us to do that. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ You know, that's what the Jews would like to do. They'd like to see you become much like them. The Christians would like two things. Some of them would like you to convert. That'd be awesome for them. Or if not, then at least become a religion which essentially has no laws. It just has general morality, and then you just get to do whatever you really want to do. You have a free lifestyle, and it's some spiritual teachings here and there, and otherwise you're fine. If that's their milla, then there may be a concerted effort by some people, this ayah is still alive. There may be some concerted effort, funding, you know, support, you know, from certain entities in the Muslim world to make sure that we either look like what the Yahud look like, or look like what the Christians look like. And support efforts that keep us looking that way. Keep us looking like we're just inner factions. Like what does it look like when the Ummah looks like the Yahud? You know what it looks like? They're so obsessed with their differences and their scholarship, and they become this world in and of themselves where all they care about is their academics on top of academics on top of academics, and their national pastime is just refuting each other, and they're just busy with that, and the world is burning around them. There's no conversation about justice or equality or, you know, oppression. You can forget all that stuff. Leave all that stuff alone. All the social injustices can be aside. Religion is now about the differences of opinion about how something should be recited, or, you know, how do you fulfill this ritual or that ritual, or fiqh differences. That's Islam. That's the debate. What kind of chicken? Let's just do that. You know? And that's actually, study what Jews do. Study how they operate in their religion, you see. You're like, that's not so foreign. And on the other hand, have some brand of religion which has nothing to do with law. Nothing to do with Islamic law or Sharia. It's just, I'm Muslim because I feel it, like it's in my heart. And, you know, I celebrate that about myself. And let's just spread that version of Islam. Water it down, get rid of everything else that's practical. Just make it into the spiritual thing. Which is similar to what? Nasara. They won't be happy until one of these two things happen. I would read this argument as not only they won't be happy until you convert to Judaism or Christianity, but they won't be happy until Islam looks like Judaism and Islam looks like Christianity. Until then, they won't be happy. And when you read it like that, you'll see a lot of that around you in the world. Like, you'll see efforts to make Islam look like Judaism or Christianity and to keep it that way. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. What's the answer from Allah? Tell them Allah's guidance is the ultimate guidance. You know what will keep us from going al-maghdub alayhim and al-dallin? What will keep us in the middle? The guidance of Allah. That is the ultimate, ultimate guidance. Our loyalty has to be to the book of Allah. As I conclude this passage, one more ayah left. I do want to highlight this point. I will make this point 1,000 times and it won't be enough. So if you've heard me say it before, I don't care. Because this is the heart of it all. When Allah says Allah's guidance is the ultimate guidance, you know the words used for the Quran in the Quran? One of the words used is light, nur. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا وَنُورًا مُبِينًا. Right? We've sent a book to you and a clarifying light. Quran is also called mubin, clarifier. Not just clear, but clarifier. What is the purpose of light? It clarifies things. If there was no light in this room, it would not be clear where you are and where I am. Isn't that the case? The other thing about light. Light is not what you see, light is the way through which you can see. I don't see light, I see because of light. You understand? Light is not seen, light helps you see. Quran is light. Quran clarifies. Quran is not clarified, Quran actually clarifies. You don't look at something else, and through that lens, you say, now I'm going to understand the Quran. Quran will determine what you will understand. Quran is at the heart of all the study of Islam. How will I understand the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ? Through the Quran. How will I understand the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Through the Quran. How will I understand the law of this religion? Through the Quran. The Quran will be the light that sheds itself on all of these subject matters. You know what we've done in Islamic studies? We actually take everything else and shed it onto the Quran, and then we say, now we must understand the Quran this way. Because this quote here, or this history here, you cannot understand history. Quran will help you understand history. It's flipped, because Allah calls it what? Nur. Clarifier. Not the clarified one, the clarifying one. It's not what you shed light on. It's what sheds light on all else. When you put the Quran in that place, and you know, somebody who hears me say this will say, oh, this brother doesn't believe in sunnah, or doesn't believe in this, or doesn't... You know what? Say what you want. I don't have to explain myself in reaction to somebody's claims. I'll explain myself in reaction to my own convictions. Why does Allah say, كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا? The word of Allah is in the supreme place. The word of Allah lies supreme. What has happened in the mind of the Muslims? In the mind of the Muslims, when they hear an ayah of the Quran, or a quote of an imam, or the quote from like some fiqh text, or a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or a statement of a sahabi, all of it's just Islam. I think it's in the Quran. No, I think it's a hadith. I think it's a scholar who said it. Do we do that or no? And when you do that, have you put the word of Allah on the same plane as everything else? While Allah says the word of Allah lies supreme. That's what He says. He says it's light. We even, our study of history, no brother, you can't understand this ayah until you understand the seerah. I'm saying, bro, you can't understand the seerah until you understand this ayah. The sahaba couldn't understand what was happening until the ayat came. Think about that. They were in the seerah and they didn't get what was happening until Quran would come and say, you know, قَدْ بَيَّنَّ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. We're clarifying the ayat. This is what's going on. Nobody can, like حَادِثَةَ الْإِفْكِ. I teach it all the time now. The slander of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. 30 days of hell for the Muslim community. 30 days of that slander. What does Allah say? لَا تَحْسَبُهُ شَرَّ لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's not bad for you, it's good for you. If anybody else said it's good for me, what are you crazy? This is good for me. Quran comes and says, you've experienced this, let me shed a light on it that only Allah can shed. This is good for you. This is good. That's what I mean by Quran at the center. Inna hudallahi huwal huda. You will find extremes. You will find people becoming, they look at the entire religion through law. The entire religion is law to them. Nothing else. It's halal, haram, mubah, this. Wajib. That's all of religion. There are going to be some people who come around, the entire religion is spirituality to them. It's nothing else. Everything goes back to the... It's a matter of the heart. That's all it is. And you'll quote some beautiful poetry, some incredible, insightful spiritual texts, some great works, like, you know, theological works. For some people, the entire religion is through a book of, like, Aqidah text. You look at the whole thing through this manual. I'm saying there's one manual that Allah already gave through which you're supposed to look. It's called the Fatiha. It's called Baqarah. It's called Ali Imran. It's called Nisa. Its purpose is that it's the lens by which you see the entire religion. We created multiple lenses. And you meet people, you'll find in two conversations what lens they look at Islam from. What is the lens they've put on that they see Islam from? Putting the Quran in this place does not mean you reject the rest of the deen. What I argue is, putting the Quran in this place, you know what it does? It puts everything else in the proper perspective. Because only Allah can put things in the proper perspective. I want to study hadith, badly. I do. But when I study the Bukhari, for instance, as a student of deen, how is it organized? The genius of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he organized it. Kitab al-Tahara, Kitab al-Iban, there are chapters, right? Who organized these chapters? He did. So this subject, I'll collect all these hadiths. This subject, I'll collect these. This subject, I'll collect these. Isn't it? It's an ingenious curriculum. Who organized the surahs of the Quran? Whose curriculum is that? Who organized these ayat? That's Allah's curriculum. Should it have? I'm not saying don't study the Bukhari. I'm saying, should there be a priority here? Should there be a priority? Is this not what we call it? Like, no, when I hear the Prophet's own words, ذَاكَ عِنْدَ ذَهَابِ الْعِلْمِ, says, the day of judgment will be near when knowledge disappears. And the Sahaba were shocked. Knowledge will disappear? وَكَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How will knowledge disappear, Messenger of Allah? وَنَحْنُ قَرَأْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَنُقْرِئُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاؤُنَا يُقْرِئُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. We read Qur'an. We make our kids read it. Our kids will make their kids read it. The Prophet didn't say Qur'an will disappear. What did the Prophet say? He said knowledge will disappear. Sahaba, when they heard knowledge, what did they think? Qur'an. Qur'an. Because everything else will come in place. It'll fall into place. That's what the book does. It gives balance. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. You know? This is the lens that has to be restored. When that relationship, when that genuine relationship with the Qur'an is restored, you'll find salawat will become better. Our love of the Prophet ﷺ will increase. Our understanding of the sunnah will be inspired. You know? And our allegiance, our loyalty will be like nothing else. You know, like, people come to me and say, you know, you never talk about loving the Prophet ﷺ. I'm like, actually I do a lot. You will not find a nasheed better than Qur'an. you will not find a praise of one, my Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam better than his Quran, this Allah's Quran. You will not. You will not find a more spiritual text than the Quran. I would challenge you. I would, and anybody dare say otherwise, I'd love to take them up on that. What is this book missing? What is it missing? You know what we've done? And I'm talking not to the general masses right now, I'm talking to Islamic studies students. We've taken the secondary text and put it in the primary position. Study the primary, study it exhaustively, and then in its lens, study the secondary. Have regard for tradition. Study the deen. Study it the way Allah intended it. إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. I said all of this because of this phrase. Allah's guidance, that is the guidance. That's the thing to follow. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And if you were to follow their whims, even after knowledge has come to you, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِي وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. You're not going to find any aid, any protective friend, any aid against Allah. If you fall, Allah will come after you, the Prophet is being told. You let go of Quran and you see. I will come after you, you won't find any aid to help you against me. The Prophet is being threatened, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is being threatened. Don't let go of Quran. وَلَئِنْ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَى. What are their ahwa? And by the way, in the beginning it was they want you to follow their religion. At the end I was expecting Allah to say, and if you follow their religion, then I'll do this. Allah didn't say that. Allah said, if you follow their whims. You know why He said that? Because their religion basically is just their what? It's their whims. He made an equation in this ayah between milla and ahwa. And we have to make sure that our religion is never ahwa. Not like the ahwa al-Yahud, and not like the ahwa al-Nasara. We have to make sure our religion remains pure of that. This is the instruction given directly to Rasulullah ﷺ. My question becomes, if Rasulullah ﷺ is threatened with such harsh language about not letting go of Quran, do you think this applies to us? Like, people have the reverse thinking about this. It's about the Prophet, so it's not about us. I'm like, if Allah is not willing to spare even His Messenger ﷺ when it comes to this priority, where do you think we stand? Where do you think we stand? This is serious business. Then look what Allah told, you know, the Israelites in the previous passage when they were refusing to come to the Quran. They wanted to hold on to Torah. What did Allah say to him? To them, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. If you don't come to this Quran, you won't have wali and nasir. That's what Allah said to the Jews in the last passage. It's the same exact thing being said to who now? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even you, hold on to this book. فَتَكُونُ إِمَاءٌ إِلَى تَمْهِيدِ نَسْخِ إِسْتِقْبَالِ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. It's, some said, you know, this ayah also. If you were to follow their whims, because a big challenge is coming, the qibla is about to be changed. And then you're going to be put to the test. Because they're going to challenge, they're going to question you, how can you change the qibla like that? You know, how can you change the direction of prayer? How can this be the right religion? You're saying the God of Israel is no longer interested in Israel? You know, that's what the Bible calls God. You know that, right? We say Rabbil Alameen. They have Rabbi Israel. All over the Bible. All over the Hebrew Bible. You know, you barely find God of the worlds or Lord of the Master of the Universe and like things like that. You don't find that. What you find is God of Israel. Lord of Israel. So when you don't, if you take emphasis away from Jerusalem, it's like their entire view of God has just been shattered. They're going to come after you, you know? And so Allah says, don't worry about that. That's not going to be a big problem for you. You don't follow their way, because even among them, you don't have to convince all of them. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. This is our last ayah for the day. Those who we actually gave the book to, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those who we gave the book to, read it the way it deserves to be read. Meaning, there are among the Jews and the Christians those who read even the Bible the way that it's supposed to be read. They read it sincerely. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. They will believe in it. Meaning, when they come, when they hear Quran, it's gonna click right away. It's gonna resonate. Don't you worry. There are people that are, they love what they have in the Torah and the Injil, and they've been digging and digging and digging for the guidance, and Allah guides their hearts to what is good in the Bible, and He keeps opening their hearts to it. And when they hear this Quran, they'll immediately believe in it. Because they will hear what their hearts have been they've been longing for. They'll read pages and pages of the Bible and find no guidance, and there'll be something that hits them. Because that's still some remains of what Allah revealed. And it gets to them in their fitrah. It hits them in their heart right there. Then they hear Quran, and they don't have to wait for pages and pages and pages to find that one thing. What happens? Every ayah just, whoa, wait, this is it. This is what I was looking for. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever doesn't believe in it, whoever just denies it, they're the ultimate losers anyway. Don't worry about them. That's not your problem. You just recite the book. أُتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ أَيْ يَقْرَؤُونَهُ حَقَّ قِرَاءَتِهِ. This ayah means that they follow, they read it like it deserves to be read. وَهِيَ قِرَاءَةٌ تَأْخُذُ بِمَجَامِعِ الْقَلْبِ. That this is a reading that really captures every fragment of their heart. فَيُرَاعِ فِيهَا ضَبْطُ اللَّفْظِ وَيُرَاعَ فِيهَا ضَبْطُ اللَّفْظِ وَالتَّأَمُّلُ فِي الْمَعْنَى وَحَقُّ الْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهْيِ. That everything is considered. They pronounce it properly. They contemplate in its meanings. They take care of what it forbids and what it commands. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, يَتَّبِعُونَ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ. They follow it like it deserves to be followed. And he would interpret this ayah, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. He didn't interpret it as they read it like it deserves to be read. He interpreted it, they follow it like it deserves to be followed. And that's important because the word tilawa in Arabic could also mean following. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. The moon as it follows the sun. تَلَاهَا. Same word. The reason reading is called tilawa is because your finger and your eye follows the text. So the act of reading is the act of actually following. That kind of line by line reading, that's called tilawa. Okay? So, the idea of tilawa here, they don't just read it, they actually follow it too. Some said that this ayah is about the Yahud who had, or actually not Yahud, the Abyssinians. 40 of them have come after Jafar radiallahu anhu had given his presentation at the Abyssinian king's place. Word spread about this prophet and 40 Abyssinians showed up, Christians showed up, wanting to become Muslim. And when they came, Allah said, these are people who read the book like it deserves to be read. Some say this is actually a reference to that group of people that had come, you know, from Habasha. وَيَجُوزَ أَنْ يَكُونَ اِعْتِرَاضًا فِي آخِرِ الْكَلَامِ لِبَيَانِ حَالِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الصَّادِقِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. This is what Imam Lusi says. Yes, some people have looked at this ayah. Those who read the book, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, those who we gave the book to, read it like it deserves to be read. They're the ones who believe in it. It's talking about the Muslims and their Quran. But he says, no, I feel that this is actually at the end saying, even among the people of the book, there are those who read the book that they have, like it should be read, sincerely, and they will find their way to Islam. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. They will believe in the book that Allah has finally revealed. And whoever among them still denies, then that's their loss. That there's something missing in them. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.